quote from Amon-Ra St. Brown on the jerseys, all black like a funeral. Get used to it. They think it's badass, despite what Renee thinks.
It's amazing.
I think we like the jersey.
Mm.
We do. 248-539-9797. In the words of Ken Daniels, we'll take that. I'll be a little more positive. Patrick Kane. People weren't sure about him when the Lions, people weren't sure about Patrick Kane when the Red Wings added him. Hip resurfacing, can a guy play in his mid-30s with that kind of procedure? He answered a lot of that criticism. And he was a big-time contributor for the team this season. For shy of $3 million a year, he was damn near a point-per-game guy. He scored 7 game-winning goals. He was an electric veteran presence for a team that scored a lot of goals. And now the decision has to be made as to where he's going to play next season. And they did their locker room clean out, exit interviews yesterday. Most of the Red Wing players spoke with the media. Kane was no exception. Here's what he had to say about this season. Memories to last a lifetime. He talked about free agency. See what makes sense. What's he looking for in a new team? Also said at one point, we'll kind of see what happens. Non-committal from Patrick Kane. Clearly enjoyed his time in Detroit. Said he made great memories, but there wasn't a lot of like, oh, we're definitely going to get something done. I read that as, and you tell me if you took the same thing out of it, Patrick Kane knows who he will be negotiating with. He knows that Steve Yzerman draws very hard lines. He's shrewd. He does not compromise very often. I think Patrick Kane justifiably is worth at least twice what he made this season. He proved coming back from the injury, instead of being a guy making 2.7, probably a guy that should be making 5 to 6 on the open market. And he just told you, I want multiple years. 2, 3, 4. He at one point said he wants to play till he's 40. I think he knows, and he has every right to command the salary that he's worth, and he has every right to command multiple years. I think he knows Yzerman isn't someone who just freely gives friendly deals out.
Right.
He knows he has to play a little hardball of his own. I think all things considered, he'd like to come back, but he knows, hey, it might not be a reality.
Steve Yzerman is going to look at all of the salaries that he has now and has coming up and what he wants to do in free agency. And if, okay, Mo Sider, Lucas Raymond, both of those guys are going to eventually get paid. What does it mean? How does that impact Patrick Kane? And Patrick Kane, on the flip side, is going to be weighing everything as well. There may be some teams that are willing to pay him more, and maybe considerably more. If he's simply looking for a paycheck, then he could go to some teams, but also be on a team that's not competing for, you know, a trip to the playoffs. And maybe he feels that about the Red Wings. Like, I don't know what his perception of this team, the direction of the team is. And if he believes it's a team, unlike his head coach, that should be back competing for a spot in the playoffs, or have one of the top three spots locked up and be competing for a Stanley Cup, that will also weigh into his decision. It's going to be money. It's going to be location. It's going to be how good is this team, and are we actually going to be competitors?
I've said this before. He has a history with the city, the organization, some of the early years as a hockey player. I think he also respects Original Six. I think he respects Steve Yzerman. I think he likes Alex DeBrincat. I think he found that he liked a lot of these guys as the season went on. He thought they could win a 7-game series. He said the future is bright. But I think he has to be a business person right now. He's a free agent. And I think he would prefer to play in Detroit than, say, one of the worst teams in hockey. He certainly wouldn't want to be in Ottawa, even if they offered more money. But he is in a position where he has to maintain some leverage, is the word I would use. I took out leverage in listening to him speak. A lot of people took out that he's just gone. I don't necessarily feel that way. I don't know how firm Yzerman is going to hold to short term and less money. Will he give a little because they are close? Because, John, if they lose Patrick Kane, how much harder is it to move forward next season?
Well, one of the things, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Because who are you going to go out there and find to be as good as he was? And then you get him for an entire year.
You know what he said? And I think I want to get your response to this. He said, I can't wait to attack this summer as an athlete.
Yeah.
Because he had been in pain and it was management and just get to the finish line. Then he had surgery, rehab, training. Oh, John,
nothing worse than rehab.
He gets to go into this summer and he's going to be busting his ass to be in. He said, I want to be more explosive. I want to get in peak shape. He said he wasn't happy with himself personally at the end of the season. So now he gets a chance to build up a little more of that conditioning and skill and explosiveness. That hip seems to be behind him. John, if they don't give him a 2 or 3 year deal and someone else does, it's going to be hard for the Wings to improve from 91 points just internally. I mean, that's a hard guy to replace.
It is, but you're also, I mean, from a player's perspective, yes, attacking an offseason as an athlete is always going to be better than going through surgery, rehab. Am I even going to be ready for training camp? Am I even going to be ready for the start of the season? You know, and last year he didn't even have a team. He was a man with no home. And here's the other thing from a player's perspective. When you come into the league, like you see things through a very naive lens. And yes, I'm drafted by the Red Wings or whatever team you're drafted by. And I've got this great loyalty because you've given me this chance. And now all of a sudden, hey, we're winning some games. Things are great. And you may be one of the star players that they're going to keep. But you see guys cut. You see them traded. You see them, you know, take a pay cut. You see all of the bad side of the business that is professional sports. And then you are all of a sudden, hey, you're 18, 19 years into your career or a decade into your career, and you're looking at it from a much different lens. It is through the lens that we heard yesterday, a businessman's perspective, because it is a business. No one likes to talk about the business side of it. We do because we're talking about salary cap and, you know, contracts and length of contracts, how much you're going to make, how much you count against the cap. But from an athlete's perspective, that naivety that you have coming into the being a professional athlete at some point is blown up because your best friend just got traded, because they got cut, because they weren't good enough. And at some point, you know it's going to happen to you. So you got to remain a business person. Do what's best for you when the time comes.
He took a prove-it deal. He proved it. He used a lot of they's and not a lot of we's when referring to the Red Wings yesterday.
I think it's strategic, but I also think it's the perspective of a veteran.
A guy who's been around the league. Yeah. And to his point, he just bounced around from Chicago to New York to Detroit all in an 18-month span. Yeah. He's like, I want to sign somewhere beyond 1 year. And I played well enough. He didn't say this part, but I think he knows and his agent knows. He played well enough to command more money, too. The Red Wings and Steve Yzerman will play the game of, well, not a lot of contenders are going to have boatloads of cash. So there's going to be a little bit of a staring contest that takes place. I don't think he's out the door. I think he's shrewd. I think both sides are going to draw their line in the sand and get to monitor it this offseason. I want him back. You want him back, right, John? We all want him back.
Yeah, I think, but at the right price.
Right, and I've seen too many people say, well, he's a one-way player. Guys, Patrick Kane is a player that helps this team get to the playoffs next year. Replacing him is not easy. 248-539-9797. Josh and Warren, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. All right. I'm going to be a little more calm than when I was talking. Sorry, Greg. I was just a little more. They better not. I will lose faith in Steve Yzerman if he does not re-sign him. That is how much I value Patrick Kane to this team. He is the best passer on this team. The vision he has, the way he elevates the rest of the team, I would go so far to give him a 3-year deal, and he gets a letter on his jersey. That is how important I feel he is to this team. This isn't Mike Modano. This isn't Danny Alfredson, the late years. This was a very key player to what turned around this season, and it also helped guys like DeBrincat kind of like
Raymond
get back
too
into the group.
Yep.
Raymond for sure. But this is a veteran that is producing that you don't just want to let go. This isn't a hanger on trying to get a cup. This is a man who's contributing and actually is a very key contributor to the team. Like I said, I would give him a letter. That's how much I feel how important he is to this team.
I think when we talk about dominoes this offseason, there's Lalonde, there's Patrick Kane, and those might be the biggest two, just to get an indication for Yzerman's appetite, his urgency, how he viewed this season. If he thinks we're close, we keep Kane, or hey, we were close and the coach held us back, I'm fascinated to see how he evaluates Lalonde and this Kane situation in the offseason. We want to get to the phones, 248-539-9797, including people who want to react to caller Renee and the jerseys. A lot of ticket text with caller Renee. We'll get to those. And a brand new segment today at 8:35. Dear John, it's 97.1. Talk about the best pool in history. Take a dive into Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you watch all the biggest games at a viewing experience that's built for sports fans. It's built for you to watch these games. You can chill in one of their six pools, three different levels, multi-level action for a perfect view of that 40-foot tall high-definition screen. Something to behold. Stadium Swim, it's America's favorite place to watch football, basketball, hockey, baseball season. They got the swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot, cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. Reserve your place today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino. That's downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Come on, guys, book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com. It's Renee. Ticket text. The lady was pointing at cookies like he peed on the floor.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Not her dog. You peed on the floor, Jim, Jody, and Romeo. Cookies, how does your face feel? Because caller Renee, Will Smith Oscar slapped you.
Oh, man. She did.
Did Renee just ground cookies for 2 weeks with no device, Keith, in Dearborn Heights? Ooh. And a little pushback. She needs to take her energy elsewhere. The black jersey combo is electric, Rob, in Monroe.
I know that her argument was that it wasn't exciting. It wasn't going to bring the energy at Ford Field.
Completely disagree.
I do too. Especially when, I mean, I don't know how they, what the run out is going to be, the build up to the start. If they do the whole Back in Black thing, like that's a song by itself. As soon as we started playing it this morning, coming out of breaks, like that's the one that starts to get the juices flowing. Then you look down there and you look at that badass team that's running out of the locker room in all black. To me, that just, it fosters energy. It creates energy and it creates the environment that the fans started in the playoffs, making Ford Field a very hard place to come play. And now you pair that with, there's a lot of different ways that you create excitement. One, the most obvious way is big hits, big plays, wins on the field. Now all of a sudden you put the visual along with it and it just is all right there.
I've got Patrick Kane texts and some calls to get to, but first, Thomas in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
How you doing, guys? So I think that Renee might have been on to something. And when we watched TV and we were looking at the crowds in away games, all we seen was a lot of Honolulu blue. If you're a traveling fan, you're probably going to go buy a black jersey. And I don't know if that's going to give that same aesthetic, not saying energy or not saying anything like that, but do you think that we're going to get that same aesthetic of looking at it across the TV and say, yeah, we got a lot of home guys there?
You liked how the blue looked. It really popped on TV, yeah. And so black, like, is less so.
In Kansas City, we saw it at the beginning of the year. In Green Bay, we saw the Honolulu blue in the stands, in the stadium. You saw it throughout the course of the year. Even in San Francisco, there was a large contingent of Lions fans, and the Honolulu blue really pops.
Some ticket texts on Patrick Kane. We played some audio. He was non-committal about his future in Detroit, said we'll kind of see what happens. He did highlight that he enjoyed being here, but he used a lot of they's and not a lot of we's when talking about this hockey team. I think it's a guy who's a vet who knows he's going to be worth more money in longer term and knows Steve Yzerman's going to be on the other side of the negotiating table. Nothing's a guarantee. Going to be a bit of a standoff. Texter says Kane won't save this week Wings team. Time to move on. That's Mark in Howell. Another says, Stevie can keep Kane. We need to keep Kane. He worked his magic with Stamkos back in the day when people thought he was leaving. Vince thinks he can get it done. Kane was a point-per-game guy. Where are you going to find that? That's signed Jeff. Another one says, from the sounds of things, I'd say the odds of him coming back to the Wings are as good as caller Renee buying a Black Lions jersey. Chris and McComb, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I think the contract with the hip injury is going to be a big sticking point. But the other thing is he pointed out about who he plays with. And I thought they really utilized him wrong at times. They took the Brinkett off the power play with him the second half, which was a bad mistake. And then the 5-on-5, especially in away games, teams can match up against that line, and they were pretty ineffective. But when they split him up, the top line did great, but they dropped Perron, a slow forward, down on his line. And I thought he looked disinterested at times. Like, he needs faster guys with him that can, you know, dive in there and spread things out so he can slip around and do what he does. So I think he's going to want to know who's going to be on the wing with him if DeBrincat's on the top line.
Yeah, because DeBrincat ended up getting reignited at the end of the year when they bumped him up with Larkin and Raymond and actually helped get him scoring at the last, you know, couple games of the season. But it left that second line with Compher and Perron and Kane. And I know Perron wants to be back. There was no leveraging or negotiating or hardball. He's like, I'm not even thinking about anywhere else. But those are older, slower guys. It's a fair question for Kane. I do think he's approaching this like a business person and not someone who's swept up in the mystique, as cool as it is to play for the Detroit Red Wings. And he said he loves the logo, but he's not getting swept up in it. We've got a new segment coming up at 8:35, the debut of Dear John.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. First, Heather with the news.
Well, a Westland Kroger employee has been charged after threatening to shoot customers and other workers at the store over the weekend. This 37-year-old man from Garden City is accused of making the threats at the store at Middle Belt and Warren Roads on Sunday night. He was arrested the next day. He's been charged with making a threat of terrorism. He was given a $25,000 personal bond. He's expected back in court on April 25th. Now, officials are saying that this whole investigation began thanks to another Kroger employee who reported their concerns immediately and didn't let anything kind of drag out. So good for them. Hey, this is cool. A new beer hall, coffee shop, and restaurant is set to open in the Financial District in downtown Detroit this spring. It's named The Social Brews, and it will feature 25 self-pour beer taps. It's also going to have a full bar, full kitchen, and a coffee shop. And what's cool about this is that the kitchen is going to have rotating chefs. So the menu is always going to be changing, which is pretty sweet. So you kind of got to pay attention to the website. Look at the menu. What's going to be there before you go? They're also going to have live music, and they're going to feature live performances throughout the week. Pretty cool.
You said check the website before you go. Do you do that when you go to restaurants right now?
No,
look at the menu ahead of time?
I don't. However, I do know what type of food they serve. So if it's going to be Italian, I know kind of what to expect in my head. If it's going to be Mexican, I know what to expect. Obviously, you know, like, I know the type of cuisine.
No, but I, like, study the menu before
you
I even
do?
Go. I think that's more common than you realize.
I guess so.
John?
Do you pre-read the menu before you go to a restaurant?
Sometimes when it's a new restaurant, I'll read that and then I'll read some reviews.
I definitely will read reviews. If I've never been there, I'll kind of maybe do that, but I don't usually peruse the menu before I go, but I believe people do that. But if it's going to be a rotating chef, I would definitely
do it.
You got to know what you're going to eat. A Macomb County woman went to go pick up some pizza and returned home a millionaire after she won $2 million on a scratch-off lottery ticket. I love these stories. I share them a lot. This 41-year-old winner bought the winning ticket at Party Palace Liquor on Shaner in Shelby Township. And she says normally her husband picks up the lottery tickets, but she thought, I'll pick some up while I wait for the pizza. And while she was waiting for her pizza, she sat in her car scratching off her tickets and couldn't believe that she won. Obviously called home right away. Didn't even want to wait till she got home to share the big news. She's already received her prize, a one-time lump sum payout of about $1.3 million. She plans to pay bills and take a vacation. Good for her. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark has clearly had enough of Antonio Brown's antics because she has now blocked him on social media after he posted some inappropriate things about her on his Twitter page. So he posted numerous times on Wednesday about Clark. This was after her Indiana Fever introductory press conference. And he wasn't posting about her as a player. He was posting about her appearance, obviously in very negative ways. After she blocked him, he then decided to continue to troll her on Thursday, sharing a screenshot of her block. Enough is enough.
Attention-seeking behavior.
Yeah. Did you hear about this Brazilian woman who's going viral after she tried to pull a Weekend at Bernie's with her dead uncle?
I think I saw the headline.
Yeah, you probably did. She literally wheeled her dead uncle, the body of her dead uncle, into a local bank so that she could take out a loan in his name. It's kind of disturbing when you see the images because you know this man is clearly not alive. Like, she was talking to him because she was trying to put on this ruse that he's really alive. And so she kept talking to him. She tried to force his limp hand to sign the documents, right? Because it had to be under his name. This was a $3,400 loan. So it wasn't like anything wildly.
It's still a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but it's a lot to go through to get $3,000.
His head's bobbing back.
Yeah, it literally was. She had to like pick his head up from side to side.
Did they catch it?
Yeah. Oh, well, yes. She did not get the loan. She's been arrested. She's facing numerous charges. I also saw a headline that she took got a rental. I don't know if it's Uber in Brazil, but got a ride share.
Yeah.
With her dead uncle.
It's just, the video. I don't know. The video I saw had his face
blurred.
And it blurred out. Like, but you could still see, you know, even though you couldn't make out who he was. The head bobbing back and forth, falling back.
Clearly not alive. Yeah. Thankfully, the bank employees picked up on that pretty quickly.
It went another level when she reached her hand over and moved his mouth and badly tried to throw her voice.
Really?
Yes, I'd like to secure a loan.
Man, we're going to need to speak with you. It's Heather with the news. It's 97.1.
Hey, if you want a nice... lovely green yard this year. You got to give Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service a call. That number, 888-GET-GREEN, or on the web at naturalwaylawn.com for a limited time. Take advantage of this right now. If you purchase a full lawn program, you're going to get free grub control, but you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket. And if you have had an issue trying to deal with it yourself, maybe some crabgrass, maybe it's weeds, whatever it is, if you start to see them, it's too late to fix it. So you've got them take action now. Give them a call. They're going to use fewer chemicals and environmentally sound practices. Each lawn is going to be assigned its own specialist, and they're going to send out certified applicators and arborists to perform a custom tailored solution specifically for your yard and your home. They're so confident that they can accomplish the job, they're going to give you a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Give them a call at 888-GET-GREEN or on the web at naturalwaylawn.com. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. Get green, stay green with Natural Way.
John, I think you are the moral compass of this radio show.
Well, thank you very much.
Father of five, hard work, honesty. You don't even speed on the highway.
I have to correct you there. I will speed, but my cap is five over the limit.
See how precious he is? Like, he is morality personified. So we're going to do this. We are going to go to you with questions, conundrums, situations that need to be solved.
Okay.
It's Dear John. These are Dear John letters. I'll start with the first one. Dear John, traveling with my wife is not a great experience. I'm very type A. She's go with the flow. We've missed flights in the past. Our most recent trip to see our daughter, we had a connecting flight with a short layover, 15 to 20 minutes. My wife wanted Starbucks. I told her we didn't have time. She went anyway. They called boarding groups. I called my wife. She didn't answer. In a panic, I call her again. She finally answers, saying she's on their way. The attendant asked me to board or else I'd miss the flight. I got on. She missed the flight. She told me I need to get off the plane. I said, no, we can't do this to our daughter. Go purchase a new ticket. It's been a week. She won't talk to me. Was I wrong?
No, I'm sorry to say you weren't wrong. This is one where you knew what was going on. And your children, and I'd put this on the other foot. And if my wife was going to see Teddy in the future, and I wanted a coffee or I wanted a beverage or something from the snack shop, and I prevented us from making that, if we missed that flight and didn't get to maximize our time with Teddy, it would be a lot longer than a week that she didn't talk to me. So this is one where if I'm on the plane, I'm not getting off. And some of it may be determined by when is the next flight? How much is it going to cost you? When are you going to get there? Is there maybe an easier connection? Maybe you should have thought of this ahead of time and not had the connector, paid the extra money for a direct flight. But yeah, I'm not getting off.
He left her at the airport, took the flight. Heather, was John right?
No. No. If you're traveling with somebody, you never leave them behind. Even if it's their fault, even though she knew there wasn't enough time for Starbucks, you're traveling with your wife and you travel together. He shouldn't have got on that plane. He should have waited for his wife. He could have gotten a little upset with her, like, ah, look at what happened. You had to get the Starbucks. Now we missed the flight. You figure out another flight and you fly there together.
Hmm. Now I get a little more time with my son, just you and me.
I think it's snooze you lose. 15 to 20 minutes. You know you don't have time to go get coffee. That's your fault.
Yeah.
It is her fault. I don't deny that.
On the plane. You can get a cup of coffee on the plane.
It's not Starbucks, though.
Well, they may tell you it's Starbucks brewed coffee. It doesn't matter.
It's not Starbucks.
If the coffee to you is more important than seeing our child and getting there on time, I think I have a question about your priorities, Mom.
I do agree. I agree with that. I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. But I still think that if you're traveling together, whether it's your wife, your friend, your coworker, somebody you hardly know, you wait for them and you travel together. You never leave someone behind.
Yes, but you also know prior to when you made the arrangements, you knew this was a tight layover, that you should have had the coffee at the original place that you left the airport.
Heather, we have another Dear John letter?
We do. We have another one.
Oh, okay. Please lay it on me.
Are we ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dear John, I was shopping the other day and realized that the sales clerk didn't ring up one of the sweatshirts I had in my pile. They just tossed it in the bag. It was pretty expensive, so when they told me my total, I knew they had missed it. I paid and left the store. Should I feel guilty about technically stealing the shirt? Or was it my responsibility to alert the clerk that they had made a mistake?
Well, it is your responsibility to alert the clerk that they made a mistake. And yes, you should feel guilty. Now, what you should do is go back in and pay for it. There's a lot going on there. And I understand that there's some responsibility that the employee has, but you knew what the total was supposed to be. When you put those in your shopping cart or you were holding them, you went up there. When it doesn't add up, oh, wait, hold on a second. Did you miss something?
You're a stickler. It's a free shirt. You take it. You don't feel bad about it. You move on.
Oh, Jim Costa. Oh,
I'm the guy that stole the car flag, though. But I would just go on with my day, and I wouldn't feel guilty about it.
You wouldn't feel guilty at all?
No.
That you stole?
I didn't steal. I paid the amount they asked me to pay. I gave them the items. I paid the listed total, and I went on my merry way.
But you knew it was wrong.
I don't know what you're talking about. Still don't
even feel guilty about
shirt?
It. You knew it was wrong.
It was buy one, get one. It must have been. That's how they rang it up.
I'm with you, Jim. I would have paid the total they told me and just kind of said, all right, they
got away
it.
With one.
Their I've, fault. I got away with a free shirt.
I've had this situation before. It's funny you would bring this one up because I have, you know, those smaller grocery carts that they have.
Sure,
at the grocery,
yeah.
You go into some grocery stores and they have two versions. They got one that's shorter and then another one that you can fit a kid in.
Sure.
And on the bottom of one, I had a couple of gallons of milk. And then on top, I had loaded up everything else I needed. I checked out and I forgot that the gallons of milk were underneath there. Yes. So go back in. Pay for the gallons of milk.
Look at you, good man.
Go back out.
What about when you put an item in the weighted self-checkout and it doesn't weigh the item and it doesn't actually scan it?
Well,
do you go and alert the little attendant and say, hey, this
I got
this
a problem.
Scan?
Yeah.
Oh,
I want to make
me.
Sure I pay all the money possible.
Not me.
No,
if it doesn't scan
right
or
thing.
Weigh, I just continue on.
Just do the right thing.
This next one. Dear John, my fiance states he has a lot of money.
Oh.
But it's all through crypto and he won't say how much. Is this a red flag? Should I hold off on getting married if I can't trust the other person financially?
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's any bit of doubt, if you have questions about whether you can trust this person or not, you have an issue.
What about the fact that it's all in crypto? I don't know where you stand on crypto, John.
That's something that I don't really understand. I understand it's an investment, but there's been so many bad things in the news about, you know, crypto going bankrupt, or if you lose your password, it's just gone. But it comes back down to trust. If they're not going to be completely honest with you, and finances are one of the major stressors in a relationship, especially if you're marrying and let's just say you have a child or two in the future, and one has to stay home to raise the child, and the lady is going to do that, you've got to know that you are stable financially.
They always say you got to diversify. I don't care about, you know, if you're all into crypto. Can't be all in crypto.
No.
Can't be all in crypto. Yeah, I mean, think you can get married to a person that you don't trust financially. I'm not telling you have to share finances, although I think one way or another you are always sharing finances. You do need to be transparent.
Yeah, you got to be transparent. You've got to continue to grow the trust. And if you're not willing to say, now the question then will become, well, you know, for the dude, is this just a gold digger? Is this just an individual that, hey, they're going to marry me and say yes if I tell them exactly how much money? Because if it's, I'm sitting there bragging about how much money I have, and it's really not that much. Now all of a sudden I say what it is, and they're like, yep, peace out.
I definitely think, though, finances is one of the most important conversations to have yes. before you get married. And the fact that this guy doesn't want to disclose and really talk about it, I say, is a red flag.
Yeah.
Can we get to the last one?
Sure. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Dear John, I'm a manager at a large institution, and we've had some issues with employee conduct and misbehaving. We hold ourselves to the standard of being an industry leader and doing the best work. Recently, we've had a series of employees involved in DWIs and OWI incidents. In fact, my wife's vehicle was also involved in a late-night crash not that long ago. How can I instill a better culture? Signed, WM.
Well, WM, it goes back to setting a standard and then living up to that standard. And when you have somebody that has a DUI and you let it play out and you find out all of the details, come to find out that it was a bad one, right? Maybe it was even twice the legal limit. And then you hear the story, and I'm just assuming, let's just say it was, hey, these tests were taken 4 hours after you claimed you had your last drink, and you're still twice the legal limit, we have an issue. Now, if you have an OWI, you need to make sure that you gather the same information and that you hold that individual to the same standard that you have already set.
Yeah, I think this institution would need to reevaluate how it brands itself if it can't get better conduct from its employees, right?
Okay. How many employees are in this organization?
I just as a rather large institution. I don't know.
Yes. Well, when you have a large institution, you're going to have people that make bad choices. And then you hold them to the standard that you think you should be living by.
You might have to dismiss some of those employees.
Yes, that does happen. And they have.
What do you mean they have? These are... You don't know WM's company?
Well, I mean, if you're twice the legal limit...
You get shown the door.
Yeah. Get shown the door. Yes.
Good
stuff. So that's my advice to WM and to all of you out there. Trust your partner. Build trust. Hold yourself to a high standard. And just be honest. If you walk out with something you didn't pay for, at least show some remorse and feel some guilt.
We told you guys, he is the moral compass of the show. That is Dear John. It's 97.1.
Yes, and your moral compass would like to tell you about FanDuel. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason. So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel could play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets, whether you win or lose. And you can use that on the rest of the NBA playoffs. And here's what you can bet on. Three-pointers made in the game, over-under totals, first basket score. You can put a parlay together. Just go to FanDuel.com/Jansen to get started. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and 97.1 The Ticket. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Ticket text flooding in. The debut of Dear John. I'll try to do that more often moving forward. Dear John, did you tell that ref you were holding when they didn't call it? Mr. Integrity.
No, I was never, I mean, I was wrongfully accused many times, but I never actually held.
What a bunch of thieves you work with, John. You're right. You go back and pay. I bet you guys would freak out if they charged you double for a shirt.
I know. Well, I mean, just thinking about your responses. Now
you think less of us.
Well, no, since you've obviously been one to steal the flag, I do feel like I've got to come in and take inventory, make sure that I'm not missing anything at the workspace.
Dear John.
Thank you.
Dear John. I bought a flag for my car. My team didn't make the playoffs. Can I return it? Yeah. We're getting some fun stuff on the ticket text. This one says, on the story about the husband and wife at the airport.
Yeah.
I'm tired of wives always getting a pass for stupidity. If it was the other way around, we'd be talking about how dumb the guy was for putting coffee ahead of his family.
Yeah. Now, I said this at the break, and I'm going to voice it now. If it was, you were having a bathroom emergency, and there's a line, and now that's something that is out of your control. Going to get a coffee, going to get something to eat, going to get a snack, and that causes you to be late and miss the flight. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
Texter says, I'm with Heather on this. You never leave your travel partner unless or known for being a total idiot and doing this stuff all the time. Love you guys.
Yeah, I mean, if this is a repeated offense, and you have stories of being stuck in the airport trying to get on the next flight because you missed one.
I just can't imagine that actually happening. And I agree with you. It's her fault. Yeah. She shouldn't have gotten the coffee. She knows she needs to be to the plane on time.
Yes. Well, we call this people. In the sports parlance, self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah, you just don't leave anyone behind.
It's not a fallen soldier.
That's how I'm looking at it. Hold on, there are... You go in as a team and you go out as a team. You never leave someone behind, whether you know them well or you don't.
Leave your wingman. Top gun.
Yeah,
Let's go.
You don't.
Yeah, yeah.
There are two very different philosophies for the airport, though. And if you're married to someone who is the opposite, like this guy's type A, so he's probably showing up 2 hours early airport in his perfect world. And she's like, I don't know, roll out of bed, get in the car. We'll get there before the plane takes off.
There is nothing I hate more than traveling and being in a rush. The thought of missing a plane creates major anxiety.
John, thanks for being a good example for the public. Honestly, I'm a little shocked at Jim and Heather's casual remarks about quite literally stealing things. We paid what we were asked to pay.
We brought the item up to the counter. It was on them to
ring
it up.
You left with an item that you didn't pay for. One could argue that the way that you placed it on the counter, you were trying to hide. You were trying to be deceptive.
John thinks corporations need our charity. Wrong. Reads another ticket text.
It's trade for goods.
Nope, it's not my responsibility to manage a mega corporation's employees who rake in tens of millions of dollars in profits, reads another ticket.
Okay, so let me ask you this. All right, let's just say you're at Walmart, mega company, and this happens. I would still go back in and pay for it. Let's just say you are small town USA, and it happens at a mom and pop place where you could tell that, hey, the mom and pop are the ones that are running the store. And they are there. You could tell that it's the end of the day. They're wore out. They've been working their fingers to the bone. And all of a sudden, you get back to your car and you're like, wait a second, I don't think I paid for that shirt. Still, you're going to steal from the little guy too?
If I already get back to my car, I'm probably not going back.
Karma Costa, wow. That sweatshirt will bite you in the ass in the future. Signed,
yes.
Billy.
Yes. No luck when you wear it. That's for sure. No more Costa locks.
Couldn't be much worse. Joe in Westland, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
On the airport issue, the issue is that child is from the guy's original first marriage, not from the lady who wanted to get the coffee. She wanted him to wait and miss the flight and not see her child, his child. So I would definitely leave her at the airport and say goodbye. I'm going to go see my kid from my first marriage, other than waiting for you to go get a coffee.
Do you know the couple personally?
No, I'm just that's from the article.
I know. Some of these are inspired by. Oh. Am I the you know the?
It wasn't part of the details that we had in this.
Yes. It was clarified, slimmed down for time.
Yes.
You know, but yes. Wow. So if you guys want to be part of the inspiration for these, we will collect them.
Yeah.
But we're looking around for examples, stories, real world examples to present to John on a weekly basis potentially.
Yeah.
For Dear John, our moral compass.
The people I work with, man, what a slimy bunch.
Why do I feel like he's gonna learn more about us than we're gonna learn about him?
That's what I was gonna say. We're talking about his moral compass, and then our opinions come out too, and you might learn more about us than just John. Because sometimes I read these, and I was like, I know exactly what John's already gonna say. Like with the second one with the stealing of the shirt, I was like, I know what John's gonna do. He's gonna make sure he pays for it and always does the right thing.
That makes it even worse. Like the example I'm setting is not rubbing off on you.
Just do the opposite.
John, millennials.
Right, exactly. The youth of these days.
I'll dare the
eye. Well,
except for Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, we got one of those too. Hold on. Yeah. Funny how Jansen is Mr. Integrity about everything except Michigan football. People want to know who WM is on the ticket text. And one more says, Jansen and the Scumbag Show. Mornings, 97.1. All right, we're going to talk Lions, jerseys, and Brad Holmes' lone wolf philosophy in the 9 o'clock hour. We're having some fun. Thanks for being with us. It's 97.1.